So we have been dealing with having proper order. Proper order starts with first having an altar. We have some stones up here, some bricks up here that represent the altar, for those of you that can see that. And it all starts here of sacrifice. If you don't have a place of sacrifice, then you will never have the correct order in your life. Because if you don't have sacrifice, then you become a person that's all about me. And so you cannot be an individual that is all about yourself. You must have a place of sacrifice. Now, this is important. Just because you pray, that does not mean you have an altar. All right? Because we can pray our needs, our wants, and I want it my way. I have been there before. I want it this way. I want it done at this time. And I need it done the way I want it to be done. I am thankful, though, that the Lord ignored those prayers. And then he gave me what I needed on his time and his way. And so now, how do you better prepare yourself to receive what God has for you in the right time? It starts with an altar. Once you have that, now you can better conduct your life in the proper order. And the proper order is it must be God first, then family, then your ministry. You cannot put emphasis on things above God. And too many times there are people of God that are putting their passions over their family and over their relationship with God. So your desire must start with a relationship with God. And too many of us are removing desire and putting it over here in ministry. So we're chasing what fulfills us instead of chasing what pleases God. But if we will chase what pleases God first, God will take care of your family and he will bless you in walking in your fulfillment. So it's important to have the proper order. It's God, family, then ministry. Do not put your family above God. You spend time with your family. You love your family. You make sure you are intentional about family time. But you should not be so intentional that you take no time with God and you spend more time in these two categories than you do at an altar of sacrifice or in his word or in a place of worship, because you must desire to have a relationship with God. Because at the end of the day, if you don't have a relationship with him, I'm talking about a personal one-on-one relationship. The scripture says, work out your own salvation, your own salvation. Stop hanging on somebody else's coattail, hoping that they can get you to heaven. It will not happen. You must have your own walk with Jesus Christ. Let's make this a little personal. If mama don't want to go to church, daddy, let's go to church. If daddy don't want to go to church, mama, let's go to church. I've seen some homes where mommy and daddy don't even go to church, but the kids say, I want to go to church, because they're trying to have their own walk with Jesus Christ. And if the order would have been correct, then we learned last week that Adam and Eve never would have got pulled into sin. All right? They never would have got pulled into sin. We learned that. And I put emphasis on having dominion with God. God wants to give you dominion in your home. But in order for you to have dominion, you must subdue before you have dominion. And so what is subduing? Subduing is putting things in subjection. You cannot say, I want to have dominion in an area of your life, but you don't subject yourself to it first. Let me make that plain. That means if you are trying to have dominion over alcoholism, you must first remove the alcohol in your home in order to have dominion over it. You cannot say, I want dominion over alcohol. You cannot say, let me make this real good here. You cannot say, I want dominion over my foul mouth, but you don't subject or subdue the foul movies that you're watching in your home. Because if you put yourself in that environment, you cannot have dominion over something that you're allowing consistently in your eyes and in your ears. I'm not getting a lot of amens, but I'm gonna keep on preaching here. Because you must first subdue in order to have dominion. So then your prayer now changes. Lord, don't just give me dominion, but help me to put my body in subjection so then I can walk in dominion. All right? So that is so important. And we learned last week that Eve did not eat an apple. She ate an orange. Praise God. Amen. That's the way I'm preaching it. That's the way you go teach it to everybody else. Amen. Someone came up to me the other day and said, I believe she ate a kiwi. I said, what? Kiwi? What? What in the world? As long as it ain't an apple, praise God. That's right. So that is so important. And I strategically put the tree behind the altar, because if they would have had an altar, a place of sacrifice, or a relationship with God first, they never would have been tempted with the fruit. And that's where our temptation falls. We fall into temptation because we do not have an altar in our life. We don't have a place of sacrifice in our life. And if we will learn how to sacrifice first, those temptations won't pull us in. But even if you go down a way of temptation, the Bible says that the Lord will make a way of escape. Amen? So Jeremiah chapter number 3, starting at verse number 14. Look at what the Bible says here. And if you don't have your Bibles, it's going to be up on the screen. Just follow me quickly. It says, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors. Everyone say pastors. I will give you pastors according to mine heart. So that lets you know that there are pastors out there that call themselves pastors, been to seminary school, but they are not called by God. Mm-hmm. They're not after God's heart. They're after their own self-will and self-pleasure. But God says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse number 11. It says, and he gave some apostles. So these offices came from the Lord. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That is what we call the fivefold ministry. He gave apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice that each office is important, and the importance or the purpose of the office is to help the people. It's not to glorify self. It is to be a help to the people, not to glorify themselves. Now he says, verse number 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So today I want to talk about, if you haven't noticed already, but there's an elephant in the room. Some of you may not be able to see that, but just in case, there's this big fluffy thing in front of me. And that is my title today, The Elephant in the Room. Because many of us in here today have elephants in our homes. And we're hesitant to address the elephants that are in the room. So since you're a little hesitant to address it, I'll talk about it. I'll talk about it. And for all of our guests here today, I want to invite you to meet my wife and I, to meet Brother Barry, Sister Marsha Partridge, wherever they are. Can they lift their hands wherever they are? There they are, right back there. We're going to meet you today right in Classroom A, as Brother Mike Mendez announced, and I look forward to being with you. And this message, this sermon, is directed for you, not at you. But every member of Star City Church, hear me very well. We must address the elephants in our homes. So I want to talk about the elephant in the room. And when I was in Israel, my wife and I were in Israel, we would travel down these roads. And if you would look up into the mountain, you would see a flock, a herd, a gathering of sheep, large quantities of sheep. And then as you would travel on, you would see sheep, you would see goats. And many times and oftentimes when you would look up, especially when they were in the distance, you could not tell what was sheep and what was goats. It was hard to tell the difference of what each one was. And so as we were driving along, our guide, our tour guide began to speak up and said, hey, if you would look to your right, you will see a bunch of sheep and you will also see a bunch of goat. And someone began to say, well, how do you know the difference? He said, oh, it's easy. All you have to look for is see where the shepherd is. And if you will look for the shepherd, the sheep are always behind the shepherd. But the goats are always out in front of the shepherd. They always go wherever they want to go, but the sheep are always willing to follow. So we need to answer the question today, are you a sheep or are you a goat? And if you don't know the answer, you're going to know the answer by the time I'm done, because we're going to address that elephant that's in the room. Yeah, I don't expect too many people to shout today. But I'm going to shout by myself. So what's interesting is that the guide began to tell us that it is the goats that he has to be concerned about, because the shepherd is still responsible for the goats. Even though they don't want to follow, he's still responsible for them. And those are the ones he has to worry about going off a cliff. Why? Because they're not willing to be patient and follow. And the goat wants to do its own thing all the time because it's not willing to be patient at no time. And what's interesting is that the book of John, chapter number 21, look what the Bible says about this, and starting at verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Peter, we know the story. Hey, Simon, do you love me? He said, yeah, I love you. He said, well, feed my lamb. He said, hey, he came back again and said, hey, Simon, do you love me? And Peter says, well, yes, I love you. He says, well, feed my sheep. He comes back a third time. He says, hey, Simon, do you love me? Now Peter is a little frustrated. He's saying, Lord, you know all things. Why you keep asking me, do I love you? You know that I love you. And Jesus said, well, feed my sheep. Why? Because he was trying to teach Peter a principle that sheep need to be fed. And if you are a sheep, you want to be fed. If you're a sheep, you want to be taught. If you're a sheep, you want to be led. You want to be directed. If you're having a hard time thinking right now, because many of you are, I feel it in my spirit. Am I a sheep or am I a goat? Let me help you. You're a goat. Because sheep don't have to think about if they're a sheep or not. Sheep just do what they're told to do. Goats are the ones that you have to worry about. Well, should I follow or should I just take the lead? And we have people in our homes. We have some sheep, but we got some goats as well in our homes. And we're afraid to address that elephant in the room. Because we have certain women that want to worship men that don't. Men that want to worship women that don't. People that want to live for God, some that don't. Because there's some sheep and then there's some goats. And the problem is that the goat is stubborn, and it's hard to train a goat, teach a goat, and keep a goat where they're supposed to be. But the sheep are just willing to say, wherever you lead me, I will follow. Because sheep want a spiritual covering in their life. Sheep are willing to have a spiritual covering. Why? Because they're saying, you feed me, you lead me, you direct me. And so now here's some elephant stuff. Because many times, often, many of us come from different places. We come from different pastors. We come from different leaders. We come from different shepherds. And there's many things that we need to understand. Let me set a clear precedent right now. Because when you come into this house and when you become a member of Star City Church, it is important, my friend, to understand that I don't change the way that I preach. You must adjust the way to how I preach. I wanted to say that very, very slow so everybody got it. Because you can have some sheep that come into the sheepfold from other different churches and other places. And I don't adjust my style. You must adjust to my style. When the sheep comes in and they follow a shepherd, they don't go say, hey, shepherd, can you change the way you do this? Because my other flock, we didn't do it that way. Mm-hmm. I've had people come up to me, I'm gonna make this very plain this morning, and say, man, pastor, you still do two services? I didn't come from that. That's something I'm gonna have to get used to. I'm like, yep, you sure are. Because I expect the sheep to be here on Sunday morning. I expect the sheep to be here on Sunday night. I expect the sheep to be here on Wednesday. I expect the sheep to be here on prayer meetings. If you want to follow the shepherd. Say, man, I'm not used to that. I got to get some rest. I said, yep, you sure do. You better go home and take a nap. You better stop by Culver's or Popeye's, wherever you want to go, real quick. Get some rest. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Then if the shepherd decides to change, then the shepherd will change. But until then, the sheep follow the shepherd. But then, see, we have some goats that buck up against that. I told you, if you don't know you're a goat, you go find out you're a goat today. After this sermon, I don't know, we may not need that new building. Praise God. Next Sunday, there may be half a crowd here. I'm going to say, well, praise God. Here's the real sheep. Because you're either going to follow and want to be led and want to be fed. My friend, don't say, oh, I'm not getting fed there. I'm not getting enough. There's plenty of food that comes from this platform. Trust me. Plenty of food that comes from this platform. I don't know. I may not be the best preacher, best teacher, but I'm telling you, there's plenty of food that comes from here. And I'm telling you, if you will listen and decide to have a mindset to want to be fed, hear me, want to be fed. Because some of us are chasing food, but you're malnourished. Because you're taking in content that is not like God. Or some of you maybe got too many shepherds. Well, let me correct that. You really don't have a shepherd at all. You just got a bunch of different voices in your life that's speaking to you, and then you pick and choose which voice you want to follow. That's not a shepherd. That's not a sheep. That's a goat. That's a goat going after what they want to do, how they want to do it. They can care less about the... And you know what's interesting about a goat? A goat is all about them. How can I get what I want to get? It doesn't matter about the sheep. Doesn't matter about the rest of the people. It's all about me. Goats produce goats. Sheep produce sheep. I love when I meet children of saints that do not attend this church, and the recognition and honor that they give. They don't know me. Oh, this is Pastor Robinson. They immediately stand up. They immediately, because they are honoring the office. They know nothing about me. They know nothing about my history, my past. They don't know if I'm a good man or bad man, but they're honoring the office. And they say, God bless you, Pastor. God bless you, sir. It's very nice to meet you. There's immediately honor. And I know there's a sheep that just raised another sheep. I can also tell on the flip side, when the goats have been raising other goats. Hey, this is the pastor right here. Oh, hey, what's up? Like, man, did he just give me the head nod? Like, did he really just give me one of them? I mean, you could at least dap me up, fist bump me or something. But you just gave me one of them. I was like, man, that's... I say, well, God bless you too. I want to say, you goat, praise God. But it's not their fault, parents' fault. That's why I never blame children about how they respond and act when it comes to dignitaries and those that are in leadership, because goats are taught how to be goats at home. Sheep are taught how to be sheep at home. That's why we should want our children to be respectful and loving and considerate, because we want to raise people that are good sheep. So let's start in the Old Testament. Let's see how the Lord views goats and what they were used for. Let's start in the old before we go to the new. Genesis chapter number 27. We see here the significance of goats as early as Genesis and how they were used for deception. It came to pass that in verse number 1, that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here I am. Do we know this story? But Rebekah overheard that conversation, and Rebekah didn't want Esau to receive the blessing. No, she wanted Jacob to receive it. So in verse number 6, it says, "And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, according to that which I command thee." Verse number 9 says, "Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats. And I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth." And verse number 15, if you drop there, "And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son." And verse number 16 says, "And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck." So she used goat skin to be deceiving. And that's what happens when you're a goat. You're just deceiving yourself. So be careful who are goats around you. You may not want to attach yourself to them unless you want to pick up on that goat spirit that they have. Be very careful about that. I teach that principle all the time, that I'm very careful who my household, my children, my wife, who they surround themselves about, not just out in the world, but also in the house of God. Because don't just look around and say, "Yeah, I'm a sheep because I'm in the house of God." Oh no, my friend, goats attend church too. Oh yeah, goats will shout and dance and worship too. But it's when things go wrong, we find out who's the sheep or who's the goat. Because goats will take off running as soon as something doesn't go their way. Goats will say, "I knew I shouldn't have listened. I knew I shouldn't have came here. I'm going to just go off and do my own thing. I'm going to just be goated." And see, that's the issue, that we live in a culture that is all about the G-O-A-T, the greatest of all time, the goat. Just do your own thing your own way and set up on your own stage. But we can't allow that culture to come into the church. Because there's only one greatest of all time. I'm sorry, but his name is J-E-S-U-S. That is who the one that we look to, not anybody else. Amen. All right, I'll get the rest of you on board here in a moment. So it was used for deception. Goats were also used to atone for sin. In Leviticus chapter number 4, starting at verse number 22, it says, "When a ruler have sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, his God, concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty." Verse number 23 says, "Or if his sin wherein he hath sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering of a kid of what? Goats. A male without blemish," verse 24, "and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offerings before the Lord. It is a sin offering." Verse 27 says, "And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done and be guilty, or if his sin which he have sinned come to his knowledge, he then shall bring his offering a kid of the goats." See, sometimes we can be living in ignorance and not realizing we have goat tendencies. Hallelujah. But if we got a goat tendency, we ought to do what they did in the Old Testament and kill off that tendency. That's why I say it all comes back to altar. Because when you sacrifice unto the Lord and you're willing to give up what you want to do and allow yourself to be yielded unto the Lord, you will remove those goat tendencies and say, "Lord, help me to be a sheep. Help me to be a sheep." Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's why the Bible emphasizes that he will give you pastors after your own heart. I want to take a moment and pause here, because I understand and know that every shepherd out there is not a good shepherd. I know that every person out there that's saying they're leading, they're not leading people the right way. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people that's not even in the Bible. They don't even use scripture to support their preaching. They will just open up the Bible, read one verse of scripture, and then tell you a story about their Disneyland trip. That's a lie from the devil. I'd rather be led by somebody that sticks to the book, that tells me how it is, that tells me the truth, whether it hurts my feelings or not, because I'm not in this for a popularity contest. But I preached last Sunday night that I would rather be powerful. Does anybody in here still remember that sermon? I don't want to be popular. I want to be powerful. I want to be led by God, directed by God, and allow his spirit to be in this atmosphere. I wish I can get some sheep in here to clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Amen. Some of you are like, should I clap? Am I a sheep? I'm not quite sure yet. It's okay, because before this day is over, we're going to remove that goat off of us, and we're going to be willing to be sheep. You want to know why the importance of it? Now let's fast forward to the New Testament. Let's see what Jesus says about goats and sheep. If you go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 25, starting at verse number 31. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Woo, how many are ready for that day? Listen to it now. Listen very closely. I want to make sure you're ready. It says, when he's going to come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. I think it's important to be a sheep. I think it's important to remove all goat tendencies off of you. I think it's important, my friend, because when Jesus comes, he's saying, who's following the shepherd who wants to do their own thing? He's saying, I'm going to divide the sheep from the goats. So it goes on. He says, and he shall, verse number 33, set the sheep. Look what it says. On the what? What does right hand mean? Power. If you want to operate in power, be a sheep. If you want to operate in authority, be a sheep. We got too many people that want to do their own thing and still want all the power. I'm sorry, my friend. You have to be willing to submit and be under authority if you want to operate in spiritual authority. He says, I will put the sheep, those that follow, on my right hand. And the Bible says that the goats will be on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I don't know about you today, but I think I'd rather be a sheep on the right hand of God. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 10, we're in chapter 10. Go to verse number 26. It says, but you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Because when you're a sheep, you stay in the palm of God. But when you are a goat, see, here's the thing. Many people use this verse right here to say, see, once you give your life to Christ, or once you are saved, you are always saved, because nobody can pull you out or pluck you out of his hand. That is correct if you're a sheep. But sheep don't listen. Sheep don't follow. Goats are the one you have to worry about, because nobody can pull you out, but you can walk out of God's hand. You can walk away from God. You can remove yourself from the hand of God. That's why it's important to be in the hand of God, but you must be a sheep that follows him. So don't ever come to a place in your life, hear me very carefully, where you say the Lord is the one and his voice is the one that you follow and you consider him your pastor. That is not Bible. The scripture says that he will give us pastors according to his own heart. He is the chief shepherd. I am his under shepherd. And if you trust me and believe me, and as long as I stay in the book, then sheep should want to follow the shepherd. If not, I would rather you go somewhere else so that you don't remain a goat and miss the rapture that is coming when Jesus comes for his people. Don't remain in a church and stay a goat. You're only hurting yourself. I'm gonna keep preaching. I'm gonna keep teaching. But don't remain here and stay a goat. I would rather you be here and be a sheep or go somewhere else and be a sheep there that you will love, that you will support, that you will give, and that you will do all the things necessary in order to remain a sheep on the right hand of God. Okay, let me do a better job. Brother Mike, if you would please come up here, and I want you to bring the staff there and the big stick. All right. This is one of my favorite verses. It's used all the time. Please, come up here, sir. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and hold those. Give me Psalms 23. Let's start at verse number 1. The Bible says, the Lord is my what? I shall not want. David said, I don't want anyone else. I want you, Lord. You're my lead. You're my God. Where you go, I'm going to follow. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does he do? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. What? For his name's sake. Verse number 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. But hold up, thy rod and thy staff, what do they do? Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. But hold on here. We need to understand the importance of what the rod and staff are for. Because we can quote scriptures, but if you don't have understanding of what the scripture's saying, you'll miss it. And you'll shout over something and dance over something that you don't have knowledge of. Because if you worship over something, God's going to test you to see, are you really a sheep? Because the thing is that the rod is for correction. The staff is for direction. So we have to be willing to be corrected by God and directed by God in order to be one of his sheep. You're good with being his sheep. He can be your shepherd. Just don't correct me. Or in other words, can I make it plain? Just don't tell me how to live. I'd just rather be goated. Y'all laughing at my goated? Because many people are okay following as long as they don't keep correcting them. Because it may feel good to follow and live for Jesus until he starts doing this to you. Until he starts messing with your money, messing with your family, or things start happening. What do you mean God's messing with this? No, I'm not talking about to destroy you. I'm talking about to elevate you. Because sometimes God will come and mess with things and challenge you and hit on you and correct you. It's not to tear you down, but it's to build you up. Because he chases those whom he loves. And if he loves you, he'll correct you. If he loves you, he'll say, hey, you got to stop doing that. Hey, you got to stop going there. Hey, you need to stop hanging around those people. The Holy Ghost within you will correct you. But if you don't want that correction, you'll just say, "Ah, forget this. I'm just go off and be my own goat." Because it's okay for him to do verses 1-3. We like verses 1-3. Lead me beside the still waters. Oh, I like that. I like the good stuff. It's the correction that we don't like. But see, it's in the times of correction. It's in the moments. Are you going to be a sheep or are you going to go off and be a goat? Are you going to still remain faithful to God or are you going to go off somewhere? Can I make it very plain? Because you can find a church anywhere in this city that will tell you exactly what you want to hear, and you will feel comfortable right where you are. But I'm telling you, comfort will not take you to heaven. But we need preachers that are bold, that will tell you, you can't live that way. You can't keep doing that. You got to come out of sin. You can't just live any way you want to live and expect to go to heaven. We need the correction of God. Hallelujah. I'm sick of weak preachers telling people you can stay in the world and still go to heaven. That's not even in the Bible. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Hold this thing, because I feel like preaching here. That means if I used to cuss, I don't cuss no more. That means if I used to drink, I don't drink no more. If I used to lie, I don't lie no more. I'm coming out. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, such were some of you. I used to fornicate. I used to commit adultery. I used to be in homosexuality. I used to do those things. But God has brought me out. Somebody in here ought to be thankful, because you used to be that way. But the Holy Ghost has changed you. Baptism in his name has saved you. Somebody clap your hands. Lift up the name of Jesus, because I no longer live that way. Hallelujah. But we got churches saying, oh, you can, it's okay. Come on, we'll love you here. Okay, you can love them, but love me enough to tell me if I'm doing something wrong. Love me enough to correct me. If you're my shepherd, if I really loved you, I would tell you, you can't do that. Do you let your children do whatever they want to do? If you do, I want to talk to you. Not to correct you, I just want to know, how they doing? Better yet, how are you doing? They'll drive you crazy. But we got preachers and churches. I'm not beating up preachers and churches. I'm trying to get you to understand, either be a sheep or be a goat. Because there's plenty of churches and plenty of places out there that will help you be goated. You just live on any kind of way you want to live because they don't want to teach correction. But I would rather meet Jesus and thank God for a shepherd that gave me correction. I would rather meet Jesus and thank God for a shepherd that told me I can come out of sin, that told me it doesn't have to be this way. Just because I was brought up in a certain environment, I don't have to stay in that environment. That is a lie from the devil. You don't have to be a statistic, but you can be a child of God. You can be somebody that tells him, I used to be that way, and if God did it for me, he can do it for you. Do I have any testimonies in the house that would clap your hands and lift up the name of Jesus and say, thank you, Jesus, for bringing me out? Ha. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be seated, please. Be seated, please. Y'all taking up my time. Y'all taking up my time. All right. I got like three more points I want to make and then I'm done. Is this okay? I'm gonna ask that one more time. Is this okay? We gotta be sheep. We have to be sheep. We have to want to be shepherded. You have to have a pastor. I don't know how plain I can make that. You need a pastor. But please choose the right pastor. I may not be that guy. It's okay. It's all right. I'm okay with that. As long as you're shepherded by somebody, though. You can't just be out here just doing whatever you want to do. With no covering, but then you expect God to cover you. That's contradicting his word. You are out there as a goat, and God says, when I come back, I'm separating the sheep from the goats. So he knows. I hope you're not still singing that song to your kids. You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Jesus is coming. He's coming. And he's watching and he sees. He knows if you've been naughty or nice. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows all things. Hallelujah. All right. Keep me calm up here, okay? I'm running out of time. Listen, you've got to want his correction. You have to want his direction. But see, these are the elephants that are in our house. And we don't talk about this stuff in our home. Nope. We just try to get through another week. We just try to make it another day. Because there's division in the home because we got an elephant in the room. Yep. Because somebody wants to be directed. Somebody else doesn't want to be corrected. There's a problem. But how do you maintain harmony? How do you maintain unity when somebody's not wanting to accept direction and correction? But yet they think they have order. You don't have any order, my friend. Because you're bypassing this, you're splitting up this, and all you care about is your passion. You're a goat. You're a goat. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Because I don't want you to leave. I don't want anyone to leave here with even goat tendencies. Because every once in a while, our flesh can buck up. My flesh is good at bucking up. If you want to see some flesh buck up, follow me around for about 6 days. Right. Preacher. You ever notice when a pastor does something wrong, they're always, preacher. Right? They call you by what you're supposed to be. You're the man of God. Oh, I was Eddie yesterday, but now I'm the man of God. Amen. Amen. That's right. Our flesh will buck up. But we still have to be sheep. Ha, you go, Lord, boy. We still got to get back to the altar and say, Lord, forgive me. I've been acting like a goat. Forgive me. I've been going off doing my own thing, thinking my own way, but God, help me. If you know you got a good shepherd, just say, I'm going to stand behind my shepherd. I'm going to believe in the shepherd. And I know you're going to lead me to the right place, to the right man of God. That's going to help me, to guide me, direct me, and doesn't mind correcting me, doesn't mind mingling in my home. I know I'm walking down your road today, but just listen to the Holy Ghost. If you can just remove me as your friend and as a man, just listen to the Spirit of God and say, Lord, I want to be a sheep. I want to be someone that follows. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I'm going to finish with this. Musicians, you can come. Singers, stay, please. It is our choices. Listen to me now. It is our choices that show what we truly are. Far more than our abilities. The image of self has always been greater than any god of money or brick or stone. I was teaching Brother Mike to our young people because they live in a culture that I didn't grow up in. I never grew up in a culture where young men and young women would say, I identify as. I didn't grow up in that. And you get asked that, how do you properly respond to that? Or what do you do or what do you say? Because that's not something that was taught in the church. And many things that are done in the world, they're elephants in the church. Because there's no preachers wanting to talk about what's happening out there in the world. So everything goes mute. Everything goes silent. Everybody, it's just kind of one of those, well, what do we believe? What? How do I respond? What do I say? My preacher never talks about it. So it stays an elephant in the church. So now everybody picks up their own ideas and their own thoughts of, well, this is how I view it. And, well, preacher, can you just show me there's got to be a scripture somewhere. See, I was talking to some young people, Brother Mike, and I said, you guys are raised in this culture. I wasn't, but I want to help you today. Because there's Bible for everything. And I said, I don't care if they say they identify as something. Because once a person becomes a child of God, and I said they cannot say they're a child of God and identify as something else. They can't do both. You can't. Because, now, I didn't give them the scripture, but it's in Luke chapter number 9. It's verse number 23, if you want to take note on that or memorize that. But it's 9:23. But it simply just says that if any man come after me, Bible says if any man will come after me, he must do what? Deny himself. So it doesn't matter what you identify as. When you come into the house of God, or excuse me, when you come into the presence of God and give your life to God, you must take off your own identity and take on the identity of Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. So you can identify as whatever you want, but I'm a child of God, and I'm identifying with the God of all creation. I'm identifying with the King of Kings. I'm identifying with the Lord of Lords. That's who I identify with. So I may have been this way before. I may have considered myself a pronoun before, but now I'm a child of God. I may have called myself a homosexual, a gay, a lesbian before, but now I'm a child of God because I've taken off the old identity and put on a new identity. So don't be afraid to address the elephant in the room. So I rebuke every alabahi. I need some folks that pray with me right now. I rebuke every elephant that's in your house. I come against every uncomfortable conversation, every uncomfortable mode and way and thing that is happening in your household right now. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of your word and by the power that's in his name. I pray, God, that we will have men and women that stand for the gospel truth, that will stand for righteousness and holiness, that are not afraid to address the things that are going on in the world and say, as for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. So today, my friend, if you're not already standing, if you would stand all across this room, all I'm gonna do right now is I'm gonna symbolize what the Lord is doing in the spirit right now. I'm removing the elephant that has been in your house. I'm removing it in the name of Jesus. No longer will you have to deal with the large elephant in your home, but I'm telling you, we're removing that goat spirit and we're putting on the spirit of a sheep, and we're gonna follow the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If anybody in here desires to be a sheep and no longer a goat, I've been preaching all month long. There's plenty of space. Everybody should come to the altar, because altar was not created for sinners. The altar was created for the worship of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The first altar was created by a man of God that was delivered, that was brought out by the name of Noah. And the Bible says he built an altar unto the Lord. Come on and say, Lord, I want to be a sheep and I want you to be my shepherd. Come on, keep coming up closer. Come up closer, please. Come on, we're going to fill this up. We're going to take 10 minutes up here and we're just going to worship the Lord before we go back and have fun in the Mitchell Center. But right now we need to make a commitment. I'm going to be a sheep. I'm going to follow the shepherd. I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to worry about what's wrong in the world or what's wrong in our culture, but I'm not letting the wrong in the world to affect my home. I'm not letting what's wrong in our culture to affect my home, but I'm going to be a sheep. I'm going to follow his ways. I'm going to follow his ways. I'm going to follow his word. Come on, lift your hands unto the Lord. Lift your voice and cry out. Cry out unto the Lord in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs to repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I've been too much of my own ways, too much of my own thoughts, but I've got to deny myself. I've got to take up my cross and I've got to follow after you. I'm no longer my own, but I belong to you, Lord. Come on, someone, by the authority of his word, by the power that's in his name, you can have dominion, but you must subdue. I said you can have dominion, but you must be subject. Come on, discipline yourself, discipline your mind, discipline your heart, and God will give you dominion. I speak dominion upon every man, woman, boy, and girl. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ.